So Happy New Year. What? It's not New Year's yet. New Year's is January 1st. This is November 30th. What the heck? Well, on the Christian calendar, it's the first Sunday of Advent. And the first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of the Christian year. So there, Happy New Year. And Advent is this season, it's a strange season. It's a season of preparation for Christ's coming. What? He came long ago. Why are we preparing for his coming? Well, he promises to return. Oh, really? And wait a minute. He promises to be with us here and now. So Advent is a strange kind of season. I think we can use it the best way as seeing it as a time to prepare for the celebration of his birth on Christmas. So get ready, you know, wake up, whatever. Prepare for the celebration of his birth. So in Advent, this Advent, we're going to have four themes for the four Sundays of Advent. Hope, peace, joy, and love. And this is the first Sunday of Advent, so we're going to focus on hope. In Psalm 122, the psalm writer rejoices in going to the temple in Jerusalem and just really loves going to the temple. The psalm expresses a great longing for peace, security, and the prosperity of Jerusalem and the temple. And it's interesting that the writer links together the well-being of the temple, the spiritual center, with prosperity of the whole city. Those two are just linked together. The well-being of the whole city depends on the spiritual connection that they made at the temple. Well, this is not the temple, but it is a place of worship. It is a place dedicated to our finding God, for hearing God's message. And we too long for peace, security, and prosperity. And this is important because this is a time when we fear conflict. And there is conflict within our world and conflict within our country, often conflict within our families. This is a time when there's this undergirding fear of terrorism. I don't know what it is like for a school child to have to be trained on how to respond to a shooter in their school. When I was in school, we never dreamed of such a thing, and it never happened. But today, we have that fear. We live with the fear of economic collapse. I mean, some of the Wall Street gurus are predicting a collapse of the stock market. We're seeing inflation. I got my Social Security report, and they said, "Oh, we're going to give you a 2.8% increase, but the deduction for Medicare comes out." And I figured, well, if you take that deduction out and don't consider it, that leaves us really with a 2.1% increase. That is not keeping up with inflation, folks. And given what I've seen in the grocery store, you know, I think the government must be lying to us to say that inflation is only 2.8%. I think it's greater than that. And I think they're trying to cover up the fact that it's greater than that. Anyway, so we have lots of things to be worried about and fearful about. How can we be hopeful in the midst of that? Romans 13, Paul says, "Wake up! Wake up! The night is nearly over. Day is almost here." And Paul, what he's expressing is the long night of human history is almost over. day is coming. And Paul expected Christ to return from heaven at any moment in his lifetime. That hasn't happened the way Paul expected. And yet Christ promises to be with us in spirit. So regardless of whether he's here now or next week or, you know, off into the future, Advent invites us to live as people of the light, expecting Christ to be present with us now and even more so in the future. This is important that we live with this hope. We have seen what I call the dark night of mainline churches. You know, in the 50s and 60s, we had this prestigious place of power and influence. And, you know, people bragged about being Presbyterians or Episcopalians or whatever. And what we've seen is a decline in membership. We've seen the loss of programs. We've seen the decline of foreign mission programs. In some ways, that is good because indigenous churches are taken over from Presbyterian missionaries and doing a much better job. You know, once it was socially respectable to be a Presbyterian or an Episcopalian, today, most people have no clue as to what we are. And if you ask 10 people if they can even spell Presbyterian, I'd bet you majority couldn't. Maybe not most Presbyterians, but many Presbyterians can't even tell you what the word Presbyterian means. And if you're wondering, it comes from the Greek word presbyteros, which means elder, and it refers to our form of government by elders elected by the people, not by popes or bishops or pastors. You know, the power of church government belongs to the people. That's kind of what we stand for. And that idea has been incorporated into our form of government of the nation. The people have the authority to elect and choose their leaders. Well, that was a little aside, but we need to hear Paul's challenge to wake up, to see the light. In her 2004 book by Diana Butler Bass called The Practicing Congregation, Imagining a New Old Church, she tells the story of the Church of the Epiphany in Washington, D.C. Now, this church is located 3 blocks from the Capitol. And what the church seemed to be doing was dying in the 1990s. They saw a decline in membership. They were spending their endowment funds just to keep going. The building was decaying and needed a lot of repairs. They were talking about closing down. They didn't close down. 10 years later, the church was flourishing. And they had found a great diversity of racial, ethnic, socioeconomic status of their members. They found a new emphasis on spirituality. They had opened up ministries to the homeless. They had used their church building for concerts. They had communion every day, good Episcopalians that they were. And if you went to Sunday worship, there was just a rainbow of people of all kinds of all walks of life. They have found that they had a great variety of music. Yes, traditional Episcopalian hymns, but also African chants, gospel songs, spirituals, Taizé music, Bach cantatas. Anyway, And they no longer had white-gloved acolytes. They were learning how to open their doors to the neighborhood, to reach out, to invite people to come in. So that was in 2004, she read the book. I looked them up on the internet. The church is still struggling today, mainly because the needs of an aging building that needs expensive repairs. And they, like many other congregations, suffered setbacks because of COVID. But they are facing the future head on, exploring new forms of ministry, holding on to their civil rights efforts of the 60s, but learning new ways of carrying on their traditions, new ways of expressing their faith. And the church, in spite of their struggles, hums with new vitality. And where there used to be dark hopelessness, there is now shining hope. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't happened all at once. But it's happening. And I lift up that church with White Rock Presbyterian Church because it's easy for us to fall into despair. We've seen a decline in our membership. We don't have much prestige in our community. We struggle to maintain our programs, and we've had to choose to give up a few things here and there. But we've been able to carry on the main things. We're trying to figure out how to overcome the problems of having a problem location. We're not on the main street. We're kind of hidden away. And so how do we attract new members? How do people become familiar with our church? So we're trying. This afternoon we're going to do not a lemonade on the lawn because it'll be too cold for that, but hot chocolate, hot coffee, and a cup of kindness, and visiting, and helping people find, hey, there's a church here. Hey, there are warm and caring people. We're struggling too. But as we enter Advent and find ourselves in the season of hope, let us grab on to the hope that we have in Christ. Let us prepare for the celebration of Christ's birth. Let us rejoice in his coming years ago. Let us rejoice in his promise to return. Let us rejoice in his promise to be with us. And let us, at this time of short days and longer darkness, and darkness within our nation and within our world, let us celebrate the coming of the light of the world. And let us explore our future. Let us look for ways to transform our ministry. Let us reach out to the needs of our community. What will our future hold? We don't know. But I believe that as we seek to be faithful to the gospel, faithful to Christ's call, we will discover new hope. So, it's Advent, first Sunday. Advent is a season of hope. And I think there's much to be hopeful about here at White Rock Presbyterian Church. There's much to be hopeful about our spiritual life together. I know the way is not going to be easy, but I believe that all of our old fears and struggles and sinful barriers can fade away into the shadows in the light of Christ's love. That's our hope. Let us cling to it and be joyful.